Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Omar Andujar, and you are listening to Compliance Chats, a podcast series intended to keep faculty and staff up to date on various compliance matters. Today, we're taking some time to talk a little bit about Title IV compliance, what it means, and how we fit into the picture. To help us unpack this topic, I'm joined by subject matter experts from three distinct university departments. We have Carrie Fernandez from the Office of Student Financial Aid Services, Aaron Mason from the Registrar's Office, and Stephanie Ramonsi from the Bursar's Office. To ease into today's discussion, Stephanie, can you please tell us a bit more about what Title IV is?
Sure. We commonly refer to Title IV as the federal programs UConn participates in to provide student financial assistance awarded by the Office of Student Financial Aid Services. For example, in 2016-17, UConn disbursed $194.4 million in these programs alone to provide financial assistance to students. For federal student aid, which is an office of the U.S. Department of Education, over $62 trillion was disbursed by public institutions in 16-17, and $119 trillion for all institutions. So, as you can see, we are talking about major federal programs.
Great. So now that we have a better understanding about what Title IV is, can you speak to what Title IV has to do with compliance and why it's so important?
Sure. We tend to think of Title IV regulations as only impacting financial aid, but a lot of regulations and sub-regulatory guidance, like the Federal Student Aid Handbook, which is over 1,400 pages, have far-reaching impacts. For instance, the annual security and fire safety report published by UConn Public Safety is actually a federal mandate for all Title IV participating institutions. Regulations also impact how we offer and monitor distance education as it relates to being authorized in each state that we enroll a student from. Title IV regulations really involve the university as a whole, since the regulations are so large in scope. Even changing something as simple as a beginning or ending date of a class can have significant impacts on Title IV administration. For example, if a class runs outside of the university's defined semester, it would change what we in financial aid call a term-based calendar to non-term, which changes how we award and when students could receive their financial aid. That's just one of the many examples of why it's so important to think about potential unintended impacts when beginning new initiatives, programs, or other type of academic program changes. The other compliance part of Title IV is that because we award federal financial aid, we have to go through a financial and compliance audit. So UConn meets this requirement by going through the single audit annually, and there can be devastating consequences for failing to prove administrative capability, such as putting the university on a probationary status or even revoking its ability to offer federal aid. Given the high volume of aid UConn processes, being unable to offer financial aid to our students would drastically impact their ability to pay for their college education.
Carrie, based on the many points already highlighted in this discussion, there's no denying that this is an important area to be mindful of and to help ensure compliance with. So with that said, who is responsible for Title IV compliance at UConn?
The short answer is that all of us at the university are responsible for Title IV compliance. Most people don't realize how tightly compliance is tied to the curricular, academic, and administrative activities of the university. The whole point of Title IV compliance is to ensure fairness and that students across the United States have access to academically sound programs. That's why there are rules like definition of a credit hour and amount of weeks in a semester. We've seen issues occur because well-intentioned people create new academic programs that inadvertently impact students adversely. This can have serious consequences. It can result in the loss of financial aid or the misrepresentation of enrollment status to the federal government, and it can also result in audit findings. That's why, when you're thinking about creating a new or entrepreneurial program, which we see very often at the graduate level, it can be important to seek consultation with our offices. We've seen great success when departments have looped our offices into the program creation process from the beginning. We've worked extensively with various groups from UConn Law, School of Business, and others to design programs that meet the needs of the faculty and the students and are federally compliant.
Aaron, so it sounds like we each have a shared responsibility for Title IV compliance and can definitely work with each of your specific areas for further assistance. How are each one of your offices specifically involved with Title IV compliance?
For financial aid, we manage the financial aid cluster of the single-wide audit and are responsible for being administratively capable for the Title IV programs at the university. Being administratively capable means a variety of things, such as having appropriate number of staffing to manage the Title IV programs, adequate checks and balances for internal controls, documented policies and procedures, providing adequate financial aid counseling, reviewing and reporting suspected fraud, determining student eligibility in a consistent manner as it relates to awarding, disbursements, enrollment status, satisfactory academic progress, and student status changes. The phrase administratively capable is really a catch-all for everything financial aid does.
Speaking from the bursar's office, within the last 2 years, our office has created a new unit with a dedicated focus on Title IV compliance to assist with various compliance audits and adhere to federal, state, and university regulations. The bursar's office is responsible for identifying Title IV recipients who separate from the university and have not earned all of their financial aid in which the student has received for that given term. Something called a return of Title IV funds calculation is required to determine what percentage of aid must be returned to the Department of Education. This is a really complex calculation with tight deadlines, so it is very important to have accurate student records while establishing consistency and quality in the administration of programs and university policies. This includes focusing on the manner in which financial aid literacy is communicated to students and the collaboration between departments and administrative offices. At times, the Registrar's Office, Dean of Students, Financial Aid, and the Bursar's Office, including sometimes other departments, are all involved in this calculation to ensure we are separating students in accordance with federal regulations.
There are two major ways in which the Registrar's Office is responsible for compliance. The first is through the accurate reporting of enrollment data to the National Student Loan Data System, which impacts when students' federal loans are in deferment or repayment. The second is the services we provide to the university in collaboration with the bursar and financial aid offices when we consult in the program development or review process of academic programs to ensure they are in compliance with federal and state guidelines.
Aaron, Stephanie, and Carrie, thank you so much for walking us through and letting us become more familiar with each of your respective areas. Where can our listeners learn more about Title IV compliance and your specific offices?
You can reach out to any one of our offices to begin the conversation, and we will involve the appropriate campus partners. As we have mentioned in the conversation, we really want to stress that there is a direct connection between compliance and curriculum development. And even if you don't have one student in your program that receives financial aid, we are all still required to act in accordance with the federal regulations. If you reach out to us to talk about your current curriculum or proposed curriculum, the process includes a few meetings, but it doesn't have to be scary. This includes brainstorming sessions, throwing out creative ideas, and seeing how we can make things work while also remaining federally compliant. Sometimes the process does require compromises, or it includes reaching out to other schools for best practices, and sometimes we even reach out to the Department of Education. By working together with faculty and program administrators, we can avoid the confusion for faculty and students and reduce or omit risk. We have a demonstrated track record of working in this capacity and would love for others to reach out to us when developing new curricular programming or to review current curricular programming or with any questions you may have about Title IV.
Excellent. Well, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thanks again for making time to join us today. And to those of you tuning in, thank you for listening and be sure to stay tuned in for other relevant compliance chats in the near future. Thank you.